Season 3, Episode 7, Aging Bull.
Aging Bull.
It opens up with a guy named Mike. I don't know if they call him Fat Mike at the beginning, but his name's Mike. And he's telling Simone that his old mentor Patsy got into it with somebody outside of his work.
Yeah, because wasn't he pissing outside or something?
Yeah, he was pissing on the sidewalk, and he got into it with the guy who owns or runs the establishment. And then, I guess, punched a busboy. And he's a ex-boxer, so that's kind of something to worry about. The whole scene is mostly Simone just worrying about it, and then they get a case for an abduction. And when they mention the street, Sipowicz says, probably Colombian drug dealer, not gonna run any red lights. Because Simone said, hey, I need to take a couple minutes because he's got to look into this Patsy situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really, that's all that happens in the beginning. So, my name's Kirk, the other voice is Kyle, and this is NYPD Blue Balls. The show where the Asher Brothers go through every single episode of the best show ever, NYPD Blue. Currently not on Hulu. But, hey.
Yeah, what is up with that? Like, Hulu keeps putting up all this random shit. Like pretty much all of TGI Friday's on there. Like, but we can't get goddamn NYPD Blue on.
In terms of a non-NYPD Blue talk, I will just say this and then continue. I watched Kazam and Jungle to Jungle on Hulu, but I haven't watched a single episode of NYPD Blue, and that's a travesty. So,
Kirk, I think I've watched all of the new Michael Bay Ninja Turtle movies on Hulu.
That's pretty ridiculous.
And I can't get... And you know what else is on Hulu? Bochco did... The TV show Bochco did before this? Hill Street Blues? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Hill Street Blues is on Hulu.
Yeah, that's on Hulu, but NYPD Blue isn't.
Yeah, they need to get on it, I think. But I mean, they're doing whatever they want. Anyway, we come back from the break. A couple of guys in ski masks... take an old dude out of their car, and it's clearly a pretty planned job.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who is running head of security for this gentleman that was picked up, Mr. Kaiser, was the one that was kidnapped. His name is William Crawford, played by Leon Rossum, and that's the first of many famous faces that we have in this episode. Because Leon Rossum is also the sheriff of Malibu, from The Big Lebowski.
Okay.
He's the dude that gives that bitchin' speech, I don't like your jerk-off name, I don't like your jerk-off face, and I don't like you, jerk-off.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you get me, Lebowski? And then he goes, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening, so he throws a cup at his face. Fantastic movie. But yeah, he's the sheriff of Malibu, and I saw him and did that thing that most people do, and immediately went to IMDb to figure out where he's from. But he's a bit of an asshole, and starts telling the cops what to do.
I think, isn't he worried because he thinks he's gonna get in trouble?
Well, he's worried for two reasons. One, this guy paid him to be a security, and I guess the dude has a heart condition, so it's a good possibility he might die.
Yeah.
And William Crawford is the name of that character. He's getting into everybody's business, and at one point... He starts talking to Simone like he's a part of the investigation team. So Simone goes, who's this? And as Sipowicz turns to him, he mouths the word asshole.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fantastic Simone Sipowicz moment.
Yeah.
He also mentions, we need to bring in the FBI on this situation. They've got massive technology that could help, and Sipowicz says, yeah, they've got massive technology, in a sarcastic tone.
It's just really funny how intense this guy gets. I mean, I get it, like, he's getting paid a lot of money, but it's just funny, like, the privilege, you know?
And he also mentions, because this is an episode where the FBI gets involved, and that's actually involving another famous face. Named Glenn Morshower, I think that's his name. He plays like the head FBI dude that they meet on this case.
Uh-huh.
But he's been in a bunch of weird shit. He has one of those faces that when you start looking at it, he's had like a small part in random stuff.
Glenn Morshower?
Morshower.
Yeah, he plays. He pretty much plays like he's a military dude or a cop in like every movie or TV show you've ever seen.
Yeah,
he's always like he's always the guy that like like Lieutenant So and So, get him out of here, and then it cuts to him and he's like it's like yes sir, and he like grabs him and walks him out and shit.
He has a very he has a very stern military face, and that's what that's what they use him for. So
hey, from looking at his IMDb page, he's been in a lot of like cool random things. He's probably been making money, so good for him.
Good for Glenn. Good for Glenn Morshower.
He's in an X-Men movie, 24. Of course, he was in 24.
24 seems like a show.
King of the Hill. He did voice work. Oh, he was in a lot of stuff.
Because of how high-priced this person is, the FBI gets involved because there's a ransom. A pretty cool thing, the scene where the FBI, the head of the detectives, and the detectives in the 15th are all listening to the ransom tape.
Mm-hmm.
Detective Bill Clark, who is the advisor to the show, he's actually in the background of that scene.
Oh, interesting.
He also has two lines. I thought I wrote him down. Maybe I didn't. Oh, he says FBI. That's right. The FBI hasn't come in yet. They're looking at. They're listening to the tape, and he says the line "FBI's coming in." He has one quick line, and I think it's because they're like, "Yo, Bill, we're gonna get you some tasty airtime because you're helping us out with the show." The biggest point is the FBI is gonna come in and they're gonna dick in to the work and basically take over the entire case.
Sibowitz is unhappy about this.
Well, Sibowitz is never happy when someone's coming in and telling him they
Sibowitz,
can...
Sibowitz doesn't like when people come in and think he can't do his job.
And it's really funny because that Morshower guy comes in and he says, "We'll be taking over from here." And Sibowitz goes, "Oh, really? All our cases?"
Yeah.
And he says, "Well, we got people down at the house and at the business." He's like, "Oh, yeah, we've already relieved them." And kind of does the, we gotta, it's that classic TV thing where the FBI comes in and suddenly they're in charge. It's our jurisdiction. South Park made fun of it when the kids played cops and FBI. It was like, this is our jurisdiction. Not anymore, it's not. And like, cop talk. And
they also did it in the Snook episode.
Oh, with the FBI. That's right, they did do it.
Because at the end, Kyle goes, I'm in charge of him, and like, why? And he's like, because it's my room. Or something like that. I'm like, not anymore, it's not.
Gene Kendall, the gentleman that wrote the unofficial NYPD Blue guide, he tweeted at us about this, and he says, there seems to be extra effort made to change kind of how the investigation goes with the FBI. And I think they do that to kind of highlight that they don't know what they're doing. They just know how to throw money at it.
Yeah, definitely.
Because they set up the drop on the money after they get the ransom, which is like a hilarious amount considering inflation to now.
Yeah.
$3 million and use $20 bills. And they do the drop at this bridge, and they basically bring in Sipowitz and Simone just to tell them, "Hey, we don't want any of your guys anywhere near here, so call off all your guys."
Yeah, and so they stay far, far away. And to go to your point, I think that's the whole line with, like, why Sipowitz kind of makes that snide comment where he's like, all of them. Because I think he gets, one thing that pisses Sipowitz off is that they come in and they act like they're better detectives, but they're only just doing one case. Whereas, like, Sipowitz is solving multiple cases at a time, and he's, like, making less money. So I think, like, that's kind of implied when he comments on it.
Mm-hmm. And because there's also a moment where, like, they go to the surveillance van, and they're sitting there while they're, like, they have a billion cameras on this car, and the car pulls up, their getaway car, they let the guy put the money in the trunk, and then he just drives away, and then they're like, "Oh, does anybody got him? And then they clear away from all the police, or all the FBI, and then they're like, "Okay, well, we're gonna need some radio cars to chase after him," and then they say, "Well, of course, no one's near the area, because we were told to not be here."
their problem was, didn't they not set anyone up for the guy to, like, turn around and go back the back way? Like, they had him set to go one way on this highway, but he did a U-turn where he wasn't supposed to, and no one was set up in the back, and so he got away.
I think it was something like that, because it was on a weird bridge situation.
Yeah, and he, like, just kind of looked like he busted a U-E and got away. And that's why, and then, like, Sip with everyone were like, what the heck, you know?
And there's a moment where, when they're in that surveillance van, Simone looks up at the cameras and goes, hey, do you get out-of-town ball games in here, too? that's another great scene. With this investigation, we have the return of a favorite of informant amongst NYPD Blueheads, Steve Richards. Steve Richards. Who is played by Paul Ben Victor, who's been
Steve
in a
Steve Richards is the shit.
Steve Richards is pretty funny. He's such a good, skeevy character.
He's right next to Joe Pantaleon when he comes in.
Yeah, him and Joey Pants are in the same school of informants.
They're the two best informants. There's an informant later on. I think his name's Leon.
Mm-hmm.
Big fat white guy, kind of funny.
He comes in and he says he's got information on the dude that was abducted.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz, to get that information, pretends to be from the FBI.
Yeah. He plays them.
And it's pretty great, because Simone does the same thing, too, where they're pretending to be FBI. Because he pretends to be FBI to a different guy. They wear their coat, and they, like, put the coat on real nice, and then they get really straight and rigid.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's clear that they made a point, like, Bill Clark was like, okay, so when you're pretending to be the FBI, because these guys think they're doofuses, you have to pretend like you're overplaying it because you dislike them. You have disdain for the FBI. So, Sipowicz, he puts on his coat and he goes with Steve Richards into an interrogation room, and Steve Richards just wants to know how much money he's going to get out of this.
Yeah, that's all he really cares, is what he can get for it.
And he does such a good job acting, like in every scene, it's pretty clear he's only worried about his neck and only worried about how much. But the scene that, the line that's so awesome is, Sipowicz at one point says, I don't want to seem impatient, Steve, but you're in a situation where you could get struck. And kind of looks at him in the eye going, I'm going to beat your ass if you don't fucking stop wiggling your dick about this. And it was a great Sipowicz line, you know, threatening abuse, but it was also in the character of Sipowicz as an FBI agent.
Oh, 100%.
The information he gives is that a guy talked on the phone about the robbery, so they go to So they go to pick up Jimmy Steppenahalf, who is played by another famous face, Jack Keller. And Jack Keller was also in The Big Lebowski. He was the dude's landlord.
Yeah, he's the guy who played the play that the dude went and saw.
he's also a return NYPD Blue actor. He was been in
who plays a different character.
Yeah, he played a dude that had he was getting accused of a crime. It was the one with that really terrible detective. I think it was one of the John Kelly episodes.
Oh yeah.
He was being accused of a crime that they knew he didn't do because he didn't match the descriptions or lived in the area. And then Sipowicz had to do the real work and show that guy up. Apparently he's in another one coming up, and I'm excited to see him because he did this job pretty well of playing, like, a dude that was moving phones, but as it turns out, he bought the phones from Steven Richards.
Yeah.
So
didn't Steve Richards, like, owe him money or something?
No, Steve Richards, he bought the cloned phones so the guys can make the calls from Steven Richards, and then he moved it to another guy. But Steven Richards made it seem like, oh, shoot, I can get some money if I point him to this guy, because he'll point him to who actually did it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pretend
like... That's what I meant, but I thought that,
Steve owed him money or something?
Steve had owed him money.
I don't think so. I mean, I didn't notice it, and I didn't write anything down, but, and that scene's really funny, because Simone comes in for that interview to pretend to be FBI, and when he shows up, he goes, Robert Simone? and he puts like the coat on and he gets real like stiff, and it's like it's
that's
just,
when you know that's when you know he's being serious.
It was so hey, Bolt busts out the Robertson mode. There's a funny scene that I do want to highlight on with this story, where Medavoy has a scene with Sipowicz in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the few Medavoy Sipowicz scenes that's actually really cool. They're waiting to get this guy, and when they do, or when they're going to get him, they start kind of like a bet conversation, like, oh, the FBI's involved, so the guy's going to die. And I won't go over the exact wording, because I think it was just a really good scene where, like, they're playing tennis with the idea, like, oh, this guy's going to die, and then Medavoy is more of a positive attitude, and Sipowicz is like, no, the dude's going to die. And then they actually lay money down, and Russell's like, unbelievable. Uh-huh. Every time this happens, they bet that the guy's going to die.
Doesn't she say something like, just like in Vice,
yeah,
guys will bet over anything?
Just like in Vice, the two guys will bet over anything, I think. The way that whole thing plays out is they drop the ball with the drop of the money.
Mm-hmm.
Their lead produces some... It produces some information, and then they track that information down, and they find the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's still alive and still in the safe house, and the food was fresh, but when they take him out of the hole, he goes, it was this guy, and this guy, and they're already gone.
Yeah, they're way gone.
And Sipowicz, like, gets in the dude's face. Especially because those guys got in their faces when they didn't call the FBI with the information that Steve Richards has.
Yeah. So yeah, they kept that information and didn't pass it.
And Sipowicz gets right up in the dude's face, and I didn't write down those words either, but Sipowicz oversteps authority for sure to get in this dude's face. Like, it's something that, if it wasn't Sipowicz, if it wasn't the Sipowicz, that guy would have a meeting with Fancy and the Chief of D's and all those guys.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
It'd be time to talk about what type of disciplinary action. And it ends, because the guy's alive, Steve Richards is, like, asking everybody about how much money he's getting.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my gosh, like, so what was that figure again? What was that figure? And then he basically asks Sipowicz, so I'm not sure, are you FBI or not? He's like, I kind of lied to you about that, Steve. We needed that information, and I didn't have time to deal with it.
Yeah, they played it. It's just really funny, because it's like, they're police officers, and they shouldn't be such assholes. But it's just like, kind of funny how they do it, and they do it with just so much, like, confidence, and like, oh yeah, I don't give a fuck either. It just makes me laugh.
The guy, the dude that actually did the phone transaction with the kidnappers, when they go to get him, he thought he was going to die.
Oh,
which
yeah.
which was kind of a cool scene. He was afraid for his life, and they were like, we're police officers, we're not going to kill you. And he's just, like, completely convinced that this was a real deal thing where he's going to die and no...
Yeah, like, he thought, like, they were coming there to execute him.
Which is, it's also a great...
Super funny. That was a really funny scene. So are we ignoring the whole Patsy?
Well, I was going to leave that for the end. After they fuck up the drop, after the FBI fucks up the drop, Sipowicz has another great line where he says, it's the FBI screw-up, all we could do was stand around scratching our nuts.
Yeah.
It's a great... I love this episode. It's a lot of great lines. I didn't write all of them down because I kept pausing to write them down. It's a good one. When Hulu gets their shit together and Aging Bull Season 3 Episode 7 gets up, watch it just because it's better than any description we can do.
Yeah.
I'll mention one thing and then go to the Patsy of it all. There is one scene because Donna's back.
Yeah, Donna is back.
And Greg has just a, like, fit in the break room because she's back.
Yeah, he's kind of he's the worst.
That's why I mentioned him positively with the Sipowicz scene, because I do like Medavoy, but once you see him in that scene again, it's like, oh, we don't need Medavoy doing this kind of shit again.
No, we don't.
We don't need him, like, freaking out about everything with Donna and talking about how terrible his life is with Donna again. Like, it's...
He just needs to accept it, that his life is gonna suck. Like, this is the life he chose.
Just deal with it, man. You're the one that kept, like, whining and crying when you were dating a girl way out of your league. You kept bitching and moaning and always finding a problem. Like, just, like, get over it, man.
I forgot another scene about that situation with Steve Richards where they, like, interrogate him in the FBI office under a portrait of Janet Reno.
Oh, yeah, they slam him into the because they thought he was playing them.
Yeah, which he was, but he just wanted to separate himself from the crime. But it's just hilarious because it's while the FBI guys are having a meeting in the room just next to the area they're doing this. And they're messing with Steve. And I believe there is another Sipowicz line where he says, this is another chapter in the story of Steve Richards stepping on his Johnson.
Yep.
Anyway, that storyline was awesome. But we have another one. And it has to do with Patsy. Who we basically... The whole story about Patsy is he's refusing to go to the doctor. Even though... Simone's pretty sure the guy may have Alzheimer's.
Well, so the guy comes in the beginning and complains about Patsy. So Simone goes and picks up Patsy, basically with Diane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, he doesn't pick up with Diane. He picks him up, and when he refuses to go to a doctor, he tries to get a doctor to come to the squad while he's there, saying it has to do with this arrest. So we can get a doctor to examine him, but he doesn't think it's a doctor's office. He starts talking to Diane because Diane's there, and Sipowicz is like, "Hey, could you pretend to be an FBI guy and talk to this dude? Because he already knows I'm a detective." And he's like, "Hey, Diane, sit here and talk with Patsy real quick."
That's what happens. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then that happens, and then when Simone comes out of doing his FBI shtick, Patsy got physical and left.
She said he moved her.
Yes, and then they basically talked about how, like, you know, can't tell, but I think he has early dementia. Like, I really think we need to
start a program.
Just get him in a program, blah blah blah. But they let him get away.
And another famous face, and also Patsy himself is played by Brad Sullivan, who you may not remember him in anything recent or something really huge. But this dude was in The Untouchables and The Sting. And those are two fantastic old movies that if you haven't seen, you should watch them. And the fact that he was in them is pretty sweet.
He was also in Slapshot.
He was in Slapshot. If you're into hockey movies, he's in that.
It's a great movie.
I haven't seen Slapshot. I need to watch him.
Jackass.
Anyway... the doctor that examines him is another famous face. It's Titus Welliver, who's the return doctor.
Deadwood fame.
Also Lost fame.
Deadwood fame.
The Man in Black, if you're a fan of Lost. He's also the doctor that helped out Martinez with his gunshot, which is why he gives a hello to Martinez when he was there. So that's kind of building the world of NYPD Blue. And also bringing back a really good actor, Titus Welliver.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, he gives up all the... Oh, he's also on Bosch, which is on Amazon. What used to be the home of NYPD Blue, but now it's supposed to be Hulu. Whenever that happens.
Again, like I said, from Deadwood fame.
I haven't seen Bosch. Maybe it's good.
I mean, it's got 3 or 4 episodes. That must mean people watch it.
I think it's up to season 3.
Oh, I'm serious.
Anyway, he then gets, like, a call from Fat Mike, who says he didn't show up for work. And later in the episode, he gets a call, or Simone gets a call that Patsy's downstairs, and he has a bird for him. I think we should start a new segment on this show called What the Title of the Episode Should Be. And I think the title of this episode should just be How's Your Birds? Because...
But it's gotta be How's Your Birds? He keeps saying it like that. How's your birds?
I don't even know if that was an attempt at the accent or just an attempt to be slightly insensitive towards the accent.
How's your birds?
Because he talks with Fat Mike and he smooths it over with him. Then he talks to the dude that owns the store that Patsy peed in front of and smoothed it out with him. And he talks to Patsy a couple times. And every time he talks to one of these people, they ask him, how's your birds?
Yeah, every time.
Every single person. Like, it's like pigeon people in New York are like ham radio people. Like, it's very serious, and we have to know how your birds are. How are your birds?
I would just call it, like, Alzheimer's and birds, the gifts you won't remember.
That's it. Of course they went with Aging Bull, because it's a pun, and they love puns. One of the reasons NYPD Blue is the shit.
Can we talk about how, like, they just gloss over the fact that he moved her?
Well, that's something else that Gene Kendall mentioned, that he said Simone's overprotective, especially of the women in his life. And, I mean, I would be pretty upset if my mentor, who I think might have dementia, possibly manhandled my lady friend, who was only trying to help him. Like, I'd be pretty upset by that. And I think it's a pretty important deal that we don't just, like, let it go. That if he manhandles you because he's, like, all dementia'd out.
Yeah, but the reason Simone is protective of all the women in his life is because his wife died.
And that's also another thing, because I mentioned it in an earlier episode where I said, did the conversation where he said, look, man, sometimes people get sick and then they don't get better. In this episode, I believe it's Russell who says to him, because he kind of has, like, that moment where he talks about how good Patsy was.
Yeah, he like, breaks it down for her that he was, like, the shit.
Like, Patsy was, like, he was my mentor. Like, my dad wasn't always around, so then Patsy helped me out with birds, and he would work on benches, and I'd help him with the benches, and then we talk about birds. And, like, then she's like, well, you know, people get old. They get sick. And, like... Yeah. For me, that just highlights, you know, if you know what's coming, it's still a little ways away, but with Simone, that's still, like, a weird foreshadowing thing that I think, even though they're only saying it for the drama of what's happening to Patsy, but it does highlight quite a bit when you know what's coming for Simone.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
It's a sad, sad state of affairs.
When you break it down the way you do, it's pretty sad.
Is there anything you would like to mention about this episode before we call it quits? There's a lot going on, and it's really awesome, and I kind of wish everyone would just watch it, because it's one of the best.
I like it. It's a good episode. Like, this is when they're on, like I said, a lot, but this is when they get on their roll. I feel like when it comes to, like, their episodes, where the end of season 2, and then, like, through 3, 4, and 5, they kind of are, like, that's when they hit their sweet spot with the writing. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I got nothing other than it was good.
I will say some, and Gene Kendall also mentioned this, and if anyone's interested, you can tweet us at Asher Bros Pod while we're talking about these episodes, and I'll bring up your thoughts, if you get it in before we record. He mentioned something that I didn't even think about, but it's true. They're kind of rehashing the father figure with Alzheimer's thing, because John Kelly had it, and it was kind of like just sprinkled in. Where it was just another piece of drama on top of John Kelly's life, and then he bailed before they could really dig into it. Because there was a scene where he went to go visit his mom, right?
Who went to go visit his mom?
John Kelly.
Yeah.
And she has Alzheimer's.
I thought his mom had Alzheimer's.
Well, yeah, I mean, a parental figure with Alzheimer's.
Okay.
It's the same, like, struggle that you would deal with of, you have this person you look up to, and they're not remembering you. And that's another thing that's fucked up, is when Simone has that line, you know he's gonna forget about those birds. He's gonna forget all about that. And it's like, fuck. That's a harsh way to end that bit of...
I mean, it's true. No, I have nothing wrong with this episode. I like it. Like I said, they're getting better.
Oh, yeah.
What I like about it is it doesn't really... It also doesn't get caught in, like, I feel this, this grossness... That is Simone and Russell's relationship. Like, this is, I felt like this was a good episode to show the relationship. It wasn't just like them always having sex.
Yeah.
At one of their asses.
There was, like, no
hanging out in the moonlight type thing, you know?
Yeah, there were no ass or side boob scenes. Also,
I think we're all good. I think we're good with that.
You also know who wasn't in this episode at all? Lesniak.
Lesniak. For real.
Lesniak is not in it at all.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of... Yeah, Yeah, she hasn't been. It's a good one. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good episodes without her in it. I think that's why she doesn't really hang around that long.
Yeah.
And I also think she's not really meant to be there for long.
Yeah,
and she knows that.
Anyway, every episode of NYPD Blue Balls and Asher Brothers Podcast is on asherbrotherspodcast.com. It's on iTunes and Stitcher, Asher Brothers Podcast. You can find us on Twitter, at Asher Bros Pod. You can talk about the episodes of the show that you like, hopefully before we record, so we can put it up. Well, or we can talk about it before we put up the episode, or I'll mention it in the end of the episode if you mention something interesting. Thank you for listening, and I don't know. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
Stay safe. Be good to each other. Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. It is always available at AsherBrothersPodcast.com. For the time being, iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks again. Also want to thank Gene Kendall for his book, The Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. It's available for 99 cents on Amazon. Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue. Hulu still has not put up NYPD Blue on their streaming service. They purchased it. We know they purchased it. They announced they purchased it, but it's still not up there. So we wait. We wait in anticipation. But in the meantime, we'll be here talking about every single episode of NYPD Blue, the best show ever. Thank you from Kirk at NYPD Blue Balls. Peace. Skills.